About the housing situation?
Yeah.
The way that the housing situation is now in Santa Cruz, there really is no housing. It's very difficult to find housing, especially when you have children. And something really needs to be done about the situation before it gets worse.
I agree.
You guys are trying to like stop homeless people from sleeping
inside. Now we're trying to allow homeless people to sleep without being arrested somewhere.
Seriously, people have been arrested for
$54 tickets.
I'm sorry.
You gotta be kidding.
No. There are more than 200 warrants out for homeless people for sleeping.
That is...
So here's a man on the street. What do you think? You just heard about the sleeping ban?
I think it's crazy, man.
You're a student?
No, I'm not a student. I'm just visiting Santa Cruz, but I've been homeless before, and I think that people should be able to sleep, you know. You gotta rest, so, I mean, I just think that it's just crazy that they would do something like that, dude. If either they're gonna provide housing for people or, you know, you're not gonna give people tickets. I mean, either you provide housing or you don't give tickets. That's crazy.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just...
What's your name?
My name's Norian Phillips. I'm a visitor here in Santa Cruz.
Are you planning to stay or go?
No, I'm gonna be leaving soon, but I just think that, yeah, that's kind of crazy because I see a lot of homeless people and, you know, people need somewhere to sleep, dude. You know, that, you can't do that.
You want to sign this volunteer to help thing?
Sure. If you're naive or idealistic or, well, I mean, I think it's good to get input from the community, except is there any outgo from the input? That's the question we learned around the sleeping ban controversy.
We have two police officers entering Game-A-Lot at about 3 o'clock. Their car double parked on the street in front of it. We have three vehicles now parked downtown, Lauren, Becky's, and Bernard's. And we're going to check out the scene. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. These are the sounds of Pacific Avenue in the last week or two, interviews and simply candid sound bites we took off the streets. Some of them came from the protest that we had at, I guess it was always all the way back in October 12th, where there was vehicles parking with kind of beds on top of the roofs in order to dramatize the fact that it's legal to sleep in Santa Cruz if you're homeless during the day, but after 11 o'clock at night becomes a $54 crime. And then when the warrants go out, of course, the fines increase. And we've got some interesting bits from that particular experience. We also have some other aspects of homeless experience we're going to be looking at. Civil rights for homeless that are being regularly violated. People just like you and I who are poorer, struggling harder, but getting shafted faster. And it's kind of a sad thing to watch and to hear about. Let's hear about some more of it. Okay, well, it's about, looks like about 1:05 on October 18th we're talking to.
My name's Verna.
And Verna, you're a recycler?
Yes, I am.
Homeless?
No, I'm not homeless.
Right.
But
you're recycling?
I recycle to get extra money.
And I'm actually, you're here at my blue recycling bin now, and you said you've had a problem with, a strange problem with speeding, police officers or city employees?
They're city employees. They're the people who work for the recycling, the city recycling. I believe they're supervisors.
Uh-huh.
It was about 5 in the morning. It was dark. I was in back of Tampico's, yes I was, but the lady who owns Tampico's gave me permission to get her bottles.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like since they're her bottles and she gave them to me,
right,
that I should be able to take them.
Sure.
And they chased me down. One of them pulled in front of me in the lane, in the street, slammed on his brakes.
You were in a vehicle yourself?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one pulled in back of me. The police came.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give me a ticket that time, but they told me next time they saw me, they were taking me to jail. Oh, I do have a ticket pending, and I have a ticket previously.
So actually, you feel like you're risking jail as you do your job here.
Yes, I am.
And has this happened to you before?
Yes.
And you got a ticket, and then you got this strange Dodge'em cars thing, and then...
That was dangerous. That was dangerous. To pull in front of me in the dark and slam on your brakes? I didn't know who it was. Could have been a robber, a raper. You don't know. It was dark. It was dark. It was early in the morning.
And do you know the names of the individuals who did this?
No, I don't.
Were they in uniform, or...?
No, they just worked for the city. They were in city vehicles.
What exactly did they tell you?
That I'd been warned before.
About?
Getting into the recyclables.
Even when you've been given permission by the people who put them there?
They said they didn't care who gave me permission. Once they're put in here, it belongs to the city. And you're stealing from the city if you take something out.
It's me like they're stealing from the community and harassing the community when they go after people who do that.
If you pay the deposit, you pay the deposit on these bottles, and you put them right here, mm-hmm. and you pay to have your garbage collected.
Mm-hmm. One wonders what their gripe is, right?
Yeah, you should be able to do what you want until they pick it up. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had something illegal and I hid it in here,
right, that'd be something
it would
else.
Still be mine. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be theirs, it would be mine. Right. I would be arrested for that.
So, how long have you been doing this?
About a year.
And what kind of a profit do you make off this?
Well, it depends. I do this because I have a child that needs medication that's very expensive, and nobody covers it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started picking up bottles to get the medicine, and
mm-hmm.
right now she has casts on both of her legs, and so I need...
How old is she?
She's 5.
And are you... So how much do you make per, let's say, per week doing this?
Per week, maybe about $100.
Mm-hmm. And how many hours a day would you say you do this?
Maybe 4 or 5.
And how do people treat you? You've gotten this kind of reception from city employees. How about the police?
The police, some of them have been very nice. I feel like they don't really want to harass me, but they're doing their job. It's a law.
Have you been harassed in the last week?
Yes, I have.
And what form does that harassment take?
Well, I was sitting on, I found some beer, full beer bottles, and I don't drink, mm-hmm. but they were full. And I stopped to give them to a homeless man that he does drink, and so he offered me a cigarette. We sat on the wall, and the police came, and they told us that we were a disgrace to mankind.
Yeah. Where was this?
Down by the Poet and Patriot Club. We were sitting on the little wall they have down there.
Didn't like your sitting behavior, didn't like the drinking, didn't like the smoking. What was their problem? Or maybe they just didn't like the idea that there was a homeless person there.
Maybe that was it. They didn't like the homeless person there and me.
It's such a bad reputation to the
giving
city.
Him a beer. It wasn't open, so they couldn't. It was not an open container. They were closed beers. They were new beers.
Mm-hmm.
But
so when was this?
Last week.
And did anyone get a ticket for this?
No.
Do you remember the name of the officer who so accosted you?
No, I do. I don't. I didn't.
Was it one officer or was it more than one?
There were 3 actually that came, and they said they were going to arrest all of us. And then they said they were going to give us all tickets, and they said they were going to arrest us. I said, "Officer, I don't even drink." And they said, "Yeah, right."
And what time of day was this?
Oh, about 10 in the morning.
And how many squad cars?
2.
Well, it's certainly a rather serious crime taking place there.
It seemed like it to me. It seems like an awful waste of tax money when they're driving around policing, protecting the garbage. It seems like a waste of tax money.
Garbage protection patrol. It sounds pretty serious.
They do that all the time. I mean, they drive around. When the garbage is being picked up, there's people that drive around the collection areas to make sure nobody's going into the containers.
Mm-hmm. So, once you have this in your possession, have you ever been told to surrender the garbage?
Yes, I did. I had to give my bottles back the day that they stopped me in the middle of the street.
And they forced you to give your bottles back.
Yes, I had to give my bottles back. The officer asked me for my cans. I said, "I only have one." He said, "Excuse me?" I said, "I only have one aluminum can." So they just took my bottles.
They let you have your one can.
I got to keep my one aluminum can, but I had to surrender a box of bottles.
The quality of mercy is not strained. So how many people would you estimate do this in order to make ends meet?
Oh, I know at least a dozen people that are homeless. Most of them are homeless.
And you're not?
No, I'm not homeless.
But you wouldn't call yourself rich, either.
No, I wouldn't. Definitely.
Now, I've heard that a pair of brothers who were doing recycling kind of abandoned it. They were homeless people because they were told that they were going to get, victimized by heavy fines. What have you heard from other people doing this?
Well, I paid one fine for $81, and I have a ticket right now. It's $81.
Mm-hmm.
I do know one man that was arrested. No, he was not arrested, ticketed with a shopping cart, and that was $1,500.
And when was this?
He said I guess it's been a while because he told me it's going to turn into a warrant any time. He's homeless. He doesn't have $1,500. Mm-hmm. And he was pushing a shopping cart with bottles.
You know his name?
I believe his name's Bob. I don't have an idea of a last name.
The fellow with the safari hat and the... No. A short fellow with a big beard, not that fellow.
No, they hang out up on Mission Street. They're up on Mission Street, and they had $1,500 ticket.
Did you see the ticket, or that's what he told?
That's what he told me. Because they said I got off so easy, $81.
Right.
But $81, it takes me a week to make $81.
So, but you say you make $100 a day?
No, a week.
A week?
A week.
$100 a week.
Right.
Which is
$100 a day? Boy, I'd be doing this full time.
Yeah.
No, about $100 a week.
Any, how about the community? How do they treat you?
There's a range of people. Some people are very, very nice, and some people act like I'm a criminal, or that they're kind of afraid of me. Other people are very, very nice.
Some people whip out tape recorders.
Yes, and some people whip out tape recorders.
Anything you want to say to the community out there, the police, your friends, or just the public generally?
I think you should be a little more considerate to people who are picking up bottles and cans because they do it to make a living and it's hard work. And I have a lot of people tell me, you know, it's beats working or, you know, it must be an easy way to make money. No, it's very hard work. It's very hard work. I get up at 4 in the morning. I work very hard for very little money, dodging the police, dodging the garbage collectors. The garbage truck drivers think they're police. Mm-hmm. If they see me in an area, they'll call. So that they can come and follow me around and make sure I'm not getting into the blue containers.
Which you are, officer, officer. Of course, you're doing this with the permission of the occupants here.
But even with the permission of the occupants, it's against the law, which doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me if it's yours. Why is it against the law for you to give it to me?
It's all for your own good. They're trying to protect you from old hypodermic needles.
I'm an adult. I'm over 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if
you're wearing these kind of protective gloves.
Oh, yes, I do wear rubber gloves. Like I said, I have a child and I don't want to take anything home. I know it's risky.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky getting into garbage. So I wear gloves, I wear...
There's a meeting of the Homeless Issues Task Force today at 5:30 if you'd like to come and speak during the oral communications period and tell them that, you know, you're not homeless yourself, but you know a lot of homeless people do this and this is a problem with harassment by police. This would be within the group and you might, I think it would be helpful for them to know this. Would you like to come to the meeting?
Where is it going to be?
I'll give you the whole dope on that. Say that again?
They should give tickets to people who don't recycle, not people who do recycle.
That would seem to make sense, wouldn't it?
It seems like it to me. A lot of people throw their stuff right in the garbage. They don't even put it in the recycle bin. But it's also illegal to get into a dumpster. You can also get a ticket for that, scavenging.
How strange it is in Santa Cruz. And your name again?
Verna.
Thank you, Verna.
Thank you.
So what were you saying?
They told me that people from the city recycling, that they lose $100,000 a year because of people like me.
These are the Gestapo, the garbage Gestapo that stopped you?
Right. They're the supervisors of the city recycling program. They lose $100,000 a year because of people like me. Now, if they're losing $100,000 a year, how much are they making? And if they're making that much money, why do we have to pay for them to come and pick up our garbage?
To pay the supervisor's salaries, of course.
So they can drive around and make sure that I'm not in the blue barrel.
Exactly. It all works together.
It does.
Well, it's October 18th, about... And that was Verna, who makes a living recycling. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And Verna did get to the Homeless Issues Task Force and spoke to them for the 2 minutes. They let her speak, and then I gave up my time, and she got another 2 minutes. But so far, the Homeless Issues Task Force has not yet picked up the issue of what do you do with these recently passed crazy local laws that punish people for recycling. In the studio with me, I have a recycled homeless person, the notorious and well-known, or perhaps little-known, James Ney. Hi, James.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Looking good, and you, boy, you look, your beard looks trimmed, you're looking jolly, you almost look like, dare I say it, a younger version of jolly young Saint Nick.
Yeah, I could say that's probably true. It may be that I'm going to play Santa Claus this year, so.
That's what you were telling me that you have applied to be Santa with what organization?
The Downtown Association, the good old DTA.
Wow, so you can, that's the gang that gave us the downtown ordinances, sit on the sidewalk, go to jail. That gave us the police patrols that run around driving people away from under the, I guess they're the, what do you call them? The lean-tos, the the canvassed in areas that would protect you in the rain, but in fact you're on the public sidewalk, alcoves, and in the rain police drive homeless people out. At least that's apparently been the tradition last few Thanksgiving, Christmas periods, in order simply to make sure that the wrong kind of person doesn't frighten tourists looking for knickknacks.
That's very true. I'm ashamed to say that it is in a selectively enforced ordinance that is used to push panhandlers or homeless people out into the rain, which even if you say, well, you know, those are businesses, the majority of the time it's either a closed business or even a business that's vacant. Okay, it doesn't matter. They push in the rain, but the real issue is here, you push them in the rain, their health. So this is the same as saying, well, you're not good enough, because I've watched them push homeless into the rain and leave the so-called citizens or tourists. It's perfectly all right for a family to stand under there, or, you know, someone who's well-dressed, but if you're panhandling or homeless, you will be put in the rain. Would like to say one thing, though, for everybody to know. I do take issue with many of the DTA's actions.
The Downtown Association.
Yes, the Downtown Association, but know that I joyfully applied for a job as Santa Claus. We should all respect that. It's a thing for children. I do it because I love children and I want them to have the best Santa Claus they can possibly have.
Well, of course, there are those cynics. Certainly, I would not be among them, who would say it's sort of similar to putting up tinsel around Nuremberg in 1936 in order to welcome in the Christmas season. Of course, while you're making sure that the Jews don't go into the bathroom. Similar to Santa, say a Christmas season in Alabama with segregated restrooms. I guess I'm still chafing from the 1994 downtown ordinances. I actually talked to a merchant today who was instrumental in getting those ordinances passed, Frank of the Game-A-Lot store. He's a friend of mine. He owns the store. I've known him for two decades, and he was actually on the downtown commission supporting these ordinances that were passed at the behest of Neil Coonerty, Mike Rotkin, Scott Kennedy, Cynthia Matthews, the whole usual gang of rogues and suspects that we have come to understand are responsible for this give it all away to the merchants, even if it's the civil rights of homeless poor people, and in some cases, everybody. They now have a whole series of laws downtown that make sitting 10 feet from a shop illegal, that make asking for a dime after dark, and however peaceful a fashion, illegal. And more important, the policy seems to be, again, focusing on the poor people. So we're going to, of course, be talking about this, and we've just heard a lot of interesting information from Verna about recycling. If anybody wants to call in and comment on this, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz you're listening to, 96.3 FM. At 427-3772. That's the number to call, 427-3772. You can get right into the swing of things here. We'll be happy to put you live on the air. You can praise us, curse us, take issue with us, discuss these issues intelligently, make stupid comments. Whatever you want to do, please do so. We're trying to engage in productive dialogue here that will hopefully reach the ears and hearts of people in power who should know better.
I sing of the farmers and weavers and fishermen and miners as well. Now all you who hear me, I pray you draw near me. Before you grow weary, I'll sing of myself. I was brought up in plenty until I was 20. A joy to myself as but children can be. A joy to my father, a joy to my mother. The pain of my country was nothing to me. My school days being over, I became a rover. To Russia and China, to France and to Spain. I lived at my leisure, I lived but for pleasure, and so none the wiser to England I came. I thought it no danger to follow a stranger. But with time changing, a friend he became. For the joys of a lover can equal no other, forever anew, and yet always the same. Good fortune attending, we don't lack a living. Our children a blessing, our joy to renew. But to live amid plenty can only torment me, when the wealth of the country belongs to the few. I join with the angry, I join with the hungry. For long years of anguish, the price will be paid. To hate and to anger, I am not a stranger. I welcome the danger, and yet I'm afraid. For I fear the fate of the rebels and fighters who ransom the future with torture and pain. As the trial comes near, if I find I can dare it, with joy I will share it, no longer afraid. For I've learned to be angry, I've learned to be lonely. I've learned to be many, I've learned to be one. I've earned all my friends, even foes will commend me. I stand with the many, I am not alone.
And that was Peggy Seeger in a 1972 album, Contemporary Folk Songs. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. This is the November 4th edition. In the studio with me is activist James Ney, who's going to be an active Santa Claus, and who knows, perhaps an active sleeping band protester. We're having a HUF meeting tomorrow. For those of you who are interested, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is trying to get together protests during the Thanksgiving Christmas season, when people's hearts are most open and merchants' pocketbooks are most itchy for tourist and merchant dollars, and perhaps homeless people have the most possible power in terms of their ability to hold up signs in front of offending businesses that want to keep the sleeping ban in place and say, time for a change, oh you merchants, oh you city council, time to make it legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere in Santa Cruz. I repeat, somewhere, not everywhere, not downtown in front of businesses, at least not after there are other places for people to sleep. But if there are no other places, then why not roll out your sleeping bag downtown in front of the businesses? Well, the answer, of course, is because the businesses, in anticipation of this, have made it illegal to do that even during the day. So what we're going to suggest is that people roll out their sleeping bags on top of cars in front of businesses, because, you see, in their infinite wisdom, the city council has not yet criminalized putting a sleeping bag on top of a car as a free speech activity, though it is illegal to do so on the sidewalk. Actually, it's not illegal to roll out a sleeping bag on top of a sort of a cot. So we could put up cots up and down Pacific Avenue. Ah, the ideas keep coming to me. But if you're interested in any of these things, you've got to either A, come to the meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to look in my little book to find out exactly when that meeting is. I'm told it's 9 a.m. at the Coffee Roasting Company by the eager activist James Ney here. So come on down at the Coffee Roasting Company and bring your own coffee money, please. We are not subsidizing and supporting old panhandlers. But, you know, hey, the meeting is open to anyone and everyone. So come in and let's talk about what we can do to get this kind of a protest together. It's still not clear that we can do it. We need people who are willing to put energy into the whole project. And you don't have to put thousands of hours into it, but we need a few a week for it to work, and we need a number of people doing that. So either come down 9 o'clock, Coffee Roasting Company, tomorrow, or give a call to 423-HUF, 423-4833. HUF has been holding meetings at the Rise Zone Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, and we may be continuing to do that, if we get enough people coming to our meetings to make it worthwhile. So if you're interested in these civil rights issues, here's your chance. And of course, you can always call in this show and talk about them, 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. And the show here, of course, is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse. And a caller called in while I was playing that last song, pointed out to me that our recycler, Verna, doesn't make a living with cans and bottles. She makes $100 a week. That's enough to help with the medicine for her child. So she doesn't make a living by any stretch of the imagination, and I am properly corrected. So thank you, caller, and keep me honest here. Let's turn to some more tidbits. Here's some stuff we picked up while we were out on the streets gathering information. Well, hey, maybe we've got a caller. Let's see if we can go live here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio, and you're on the air.
Apparently not. Oh, whoa. Well, try again, caller, if you want to talk to me off air when there's a bit of music on, which should be coming up fairly soon, or a bit of a dialogue. Let's get into that dialogue. Here's an instance of the kind of street theater we engage in. I would even call it sort of impromptu protesting that happens downtown. This is about a week or two ago. Friday nights and Saturday nights are particularly good nights to table downtown. At least they have been until the weather began to take a turn for the colder. Because a lot of people come out to the movie theater. So here's what happened, I guess it was a week or two ago.
7:35, and Becky Johnson, who's been chatting with and videoing Robert here on the bench, has observed, should we say, an unusual police contact another bench down. What's that about, Becky?
Well, at the next bench up past Robert was a man with sitting.
And Robert, it should be said, is none other than Robert Steffen. That's the fellow in front of Bunny's Shoes, for those of you who are occasional habitués of the Coffee Roasting Company. You walk down past the Coffee Roasting Company, you find Bunny's Shoes on Pacific. There's a man with a white and black umbrella with his roll-along kind of makeshift cart, his worldly possessions, and his sign announcing a presidential campaign. Bunny's Shoes is determined to get rid of him, thinking that somehow they own the public bench. But we'll see what happens. He's been there for about almost 3 or 4 weeks now. He's really, this is the man who was jailed for a total of 90 days for 3 instances of sleeping. And he was, of course, jailed for trespass at the Homeless Services Center, the so-called emergency shelter providers of our community. It's a sort of a bad joke. And it's hard to believe. It's kind of like the sleeping ban. People hear the sleeping ban and they start laughing. What do you mean you arrest someone and fine them for sleeping? How could they pay a fine? They can't pay for a hotel. How could they pay a fine for sleeping? And, of course, the point of it is not to have them pay a fine at all, but to drive them out of the area. Anyway, Robert has been there, and he has been threatened. Now they're thinking of taking away his bench. And don't laugh. This is what the Downtown Association frequently does. It kind of colludes with Parks and Rec to remove benches from areas, let's say, where young people are hanging out, as they did at Cathcart and Pacific, at the Metro, or in front of the old bookshop Santa Cruz. Neil Coonerty has been criticized for special deals making bookshops verboten in certain large new real estate developments downtown. That's become a kind of a front page scandal. But Coonerty also moved out benches from in front of the old bookshop Santa Cruz when it was located down near where the Cafe Royale was, without public hearings, without public discussion, without any kind of public process at all that I'm aware of. So, I mean, it's an old process that happens, and a bad process. And we have to change that. We'd hope our new city council would do something about that. Of course, they're colluding in this kind of secretive process by pushing things like the Dolphin Lee evictions, which we've also talked about. That's the Beach Flats eviction of 2 housing projects filled with Hispanic, poor Hispanic people who will have no place to go, who will not be able to afford other rents. The relocation fees will not pay for them, and some of them are illegal immigrants anyway, no doubt, and that's going to be a problem. And what do we hear? We hear a unanimous vote from the city council last Tuesday to make Dolphin Lee the highest priority, to pump millions of dollars into this so Mercy Housing can have another little project that they'll take over in 20 years. It's incredible. Anyway, let's hear more about what's going on down on Pacific Avenue. Boy, I just can't shut up.
Bench, quietly. And Officer Malate, the CSO, and Officer Brandt came, and they stopped, and they started talking to him and confronting him about something. So I said, well, I better go check this out. And so I started walking towards them. And they saw me walking towards them, and then they started walking up beyond.
Busted in the midst of their bullshit.
So I went.
What a moment of infamy for Officer Brandt and his sidekick, CSO Malate.
So I went and asked the man what the officers had spoken to him about, and he was seemed to me to be a homeless man, and he said that he had fallen asleep on the bench.
A dangerous situation, falling asleep. However, I would like to point out, within the permitted hours, it's not after 11 o'clock, and he is not in a prone position on the ground in downtown Santa Cruz.
He was sitting upright on a bench, and the sleeping ban is not in effect till 11 p.m., so I don't understand why the officers had to stop and wake him up.
Still, he is flirting with disaster. He thinks he can sleep with impunity, or even alone, for that matter. Here on the downtown Pacific Avenue. Ken Ohm, you're a man who's been around town for a while. What kind of news do you hear out at the Elm Street Mission in terms of beatings, tickets, and police misbehavior?
Well, just tonight I heard that there's a man named Kurt. I forget his last name. He said a week ago he was beaten up. But I don't know if the police had anything to do with it.
Right.
He was quite drunk. And so he wasn't making a lot of sense.
I see.
He was just getting really aggro, really quickly.
Well, I'm by beatings, I'm not even accusing the police of a lot of beatings. I haven't heard of that happening much recently this year. But there have been beatings of people. Now, here's an example of a real ne'er-do-well, John Telfair. What do you mean by walking down without your permit after dark? Come over here, John. Now, hey, John Moore. What is the meaning of all the old hands
here?
Number
one persona non grata here.
Well, you are a man who has been known to sit holding a sign asking to get money to go back to visit your wife on the East Coast. That's a no-no here in Santa Cruz.
I'm notorious. I know that.
Now, of course, we know that's actually quite legal, but Officer Malate, in his ignorance or malice, apparently was harassing you nonetheless. That was about a year ago.
Yes, that happened. But
would it surprise you to know that 2 days ago, Malate did the same thing to Patricia Gardella, a woman with a sign that said, any spare money here on the mall, making her stand up, even though it's completely illegal for him to do so? That is to say, perfectly legal for her to sit with such a sign?
Yeah. Well, perhaps he needs to be re-educated, to use a Maoist term. He needs to be re-educated, I say.
Mm-hmm. I see some officers up the street conversing with a group of people. I will have to go up there and observe this rather exciting moment.
That would be interesting, yes. I'm a forgiving soul, of course, but I really think that this gentleman needs a little education about the law that he's supposedly trying to
uphold. He has been educated, I gotta tell you. He doesn't seem to stick. I think his education is best found by brief suspensions without pay. That would be a little more educational.
Yes, I think that might be somewhat educational for him.
Right, or possibly a replacement and some other line of work.
Yes, that's possible too. I think I must be going because I think I must do a little bit of my activities and see what happens.
We'll see what happens when that happens.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Well, I'm trying to give a comeuppance to one of these local panhandlers. It's again the inescapable John Telfair with his need help for rent, another basic sign. John, don't you realize that you are an eyesore to the entire community just standing here?
I know. It is a terrible thing. I think it is part of my so-called mental condition.
Well,
I think they must have some...
Why don't you go jump into a psychiatric ward,
Brad? I think they probably have some kind of anti-panhandling pill. I think there must be a syndrome. Probably there's a panhandling syndrome, and I have a compulsion to do this. So I really think I am in need of psychiatric therapy to solve this syndrome that I have.
Well, in the meantime, while you gibber on the street corners, decent tourists are turning to Carmel instead of Santa Cruz.
Don't you realize this is a disgrace? This is a terrible thing. That's why I think I am in need of psychiatric care, and I really believe that Dominican probably has the answer to my problem.
So in other words, you're panhandling in order to get money for a bus fare to Dominican?
Yes, that's probably what I need. I mean, I believe they probably have some medication that they have come up with that will solve the panhandling syndrome, which I have.
Well,
it's a serious...
Get your butts down here, folks. Actually, it's probably too late by the time this broadcast is happening. But this man needs your money to get out of town.
Now, it's a serious psychiatric disorder, which evidently can be cured with some kind of new psychiatric medication that will take away this terrible compulsion to panhandle.
I'll pass that on to the mayor.
I just can't help myself.
Stop him before he panhandles again, folks.
I cannot help myself.
And interrupting that sad story with poor John, the compulsive panhandler, we have on the line.
Yeah, I sure hope he gets all the help he can.
Yeah, we're kind of rooting for John. You know, it requires, perhaps Jesus can help here. I don't know. Some religious intervention might be appropriate. Anyway, on the line with us is Becky Johnson, who is occasionally the programmer here and also an activist in her own right. And Becky, you've been listening to the show.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about the interview you did earlier on with Verna, the recycler woman. I had a meeting with Catherine Byers, and I brought up the issue about Verna and her situation, how she felt she was being harassed.
Wait a minute, by Catherine Byers, you mean Mayor Sleeping
Mayor
Ban Byers?
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and she was interested in hearing the details, and I told her that she was trying to get medicine for her child. And she went, oh, well, that can't be true, because if she's low income, then she can get all the assistance for her medical treatment, all that she needs, and can't be true.
You know, we have James Ney vigorously shaking his head. James, what's your perspective on that?
I have been homeless. I have used county services. I have used our dear little show, as they call the health system of Santa Cruz County Health Options. It's a maintenance program. And no, there is a large number of drugs that are absolutely not covered under Medicare, Medi-Cal, or this show program. In fact, it is extremely hard to get many drugs. So for Miss Mayor
Sleeping Ban Byers,
that's it, to state that as a mayor strikes me as extremely funny that she wouldn't know her own laws.
She might be considered ignorant, perhaps.
Well, you know, I thought that Verna probably does have show or Medi-Cal for her child.
And what is show? Show is
Santa Cruz County Health Options.
Gotcha.
That's our health maintenance program. They don't allow Medi-Cal here. Medi-Cal pays to Santa Cruz County Health Options, which is a HMO, which we all know about HMOs.
Wonderful.
It's all in make money, don't provide services.
Well, what they don't have any alternative health. The herbs and different types of, chiropractic treatment and acupuncture, that sort of thing. And a lot of parents really, when it comes to treating their children, have serious misgivings for these pharmaceutical, chemical, cut it out, burn it out, or poison it types of treatments that you get through standard medical systems. And there's certainly none of those are available through show. So I think Catherine Byers was very limited in her understanding of the situation, or perhaps looking for a way to wiggle out.
Well, no doubt, hearing from you, she immediately rushed to the phone to change the situation, right?
She's no Celia Scott.
Anything else you want to add about this recycling situation? I know that it was brought up at the latest Homeless Issues Task Force before it disappeared beneath the waves.
No, that's will be part of the legal subcommittee's 3-month presentation.
And the legal subcommittee, for those who are interested, meets every, I guess now it's 5:30 at the city manager's conference room on Wednesdays, for those who can figure out where that is.
Yeah, and that's, they feel that they need to meet weekly because since the Homeless Issues Task Force is only funded for 6 months, and given what they're doing, they won't extend it.
It should be mentioned that the funding isn't going to any of the people meeting, but to former Mayor Don Lane, a Byers crony from way back, who's getting paid, $7,500 out of the $10,000 that's being given to this group to push papers around and actually...
Well, we're trying to rehabilitate him.
Right.
Also, my question about this is hasn't this task force passed resolutions already? And why is it that nobody's heard of any resolutions that come from the task force?
Well, Don, for some reason, must have lost those resolutions en route to the mayor's office or the city council.
It's really hard to get lost from the city manager's office to the city council offices. That's really hard to lose things.
Well, I'm being a little too perhaps harsh here. Don, of course, was not hired by the Homeless Issues Task Force, or force, as it's striving to become, but was hired by the city manager, Dick, well-named Wilson, who is essentially... made this hiring of Lane at the request of Catherine Byers and in the expectation that this task force would do nothing other than maybe come up with a family shelter or some minor recommendations that Byers already wanted. This is my
indoor family shelter.
Right.
Is the only thing Catherine Byers is interested in.
And in fact, the task force has come up with a number of recommendations, the first of which was to abolish the entire camping ordinance. I mean, we worked for a couple of years trying to abolish the sleeping ban provisions of the camping ban.
Yes, the sanitized yuppie version
We just said,
voters would vote for.
Right. Well, even a smaller version. We didn't even say make it legal for people to sleep. Period. We said make it legal for people to sleep in certain rather limited areas.
Well,
of town.
Not that limited. Our initiative would have provided 40% of the city.
But the point was that this group, the Homeless Issues Task Force, jumped the rails and said, wait a minute, if you let people sleep, you should also let them
shelter
defend themselves from the elements. If you're not going to provide legal shelter, and if it's been shown, as it has, that there's been a shelter emergency, an officially declared shelter emergency since 1990, and then a second one declared in 95 on top of the first one, and then a third one declared on top of those two in 1998, then it seems to me that you want families not only to be able to, let's say, freeze and shiver as they slumber, but also maybe even to put up a tent, dare I say, so they don't get wet. And at this particular point, anywhere in the Santa Cruz area, that is illegal, except, of course, the exception is private property in a backyard with the permission of the owner.
And it must be a fenced backyard, so they can't see you.
Actually, it has to be a fenced side yard. Backyard, it can be any kind of backyard. I made that same mistake.
Oh.
But it doesn't happen a lot, and it's hard to find. And, of course, it means that it puts 500 to 1,500 people outdoors every night without protection, since the emergency shelter program, which is essentially floors of churches, houses, 40 people? 50 people?
Well...
starting November 1st, I think they doubled it, but it was...
Oh, from 20... It's 28 and then 56.
It's gone up to
56. Yeah, 56 after November 1st.
Now, James is a man who has some expertise on this, because James has been, for a month, you were the supervisor of the Armory Winter Shelter, which has not yet opened, although it could have opened. They could have opened it November 1st if they'd wanted. It hasn't opened yet, but you were the supervisor last year.
I did learn something about the Armory at the last Homeless Services Center meeting.
The Board of Directors
meeting.
It's another Byers production, I might add. She's on that board.
The state of California pays for 100 days, and anything beyond 100 days, the city is billed $395 a month. So there's still...
A month or a day?
No,
a day, I'm sorry.
$395 a day, right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It was $500 under Pete Wilson.
Uh-huh.
It's down to $395, but it still behooves the city to have the shelter open, no more than 100 days, really, for their optimum budget line.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to challenge James Nay to sing one of my Christmas carols when he's out in his Santa suit in the Downtown Association.
Well, Becky, you know I love you, and I don't mind singing your carols, but I also will say that I'm doing this for the children, okay? And our children are not yet grown people that have passed these laws or have acted this badly way, so I have to give you my honest opinion that when I'm playing Santa, I'm doing it for the children, and our children deserve everything that they can get. They need love, kindness, and to be shown that they need to love all types of people.
So it's love the children, but meanwhile, let the homeless stay awake all night. That's it seems to be the city's motto.
The city's motto, and when I'm not in my Santa suit, I will stand up for every right of every individual, especially the homeless, because they are treated so poorly in this town.
And with the homeless, looks like last rights are going to be in order in some respects.
I have a short one, if you'd like
worse.
To hear it.
Sure.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, but not in Santa Cruz. Mayor Byers has a sleeping band. She'll sight you if you snooze. And if you're warm beneath your quilts, your blankets, you shall lose. Bad tidings, not comfort or joy. Comfort or joy. Bad tidings, not comfort or joy.
Surely a very bad lesson for the children. I'm going to have to hang up on you with that one.
No, that's one of my favorites.
Well, the nerve of that woman, I must say. I mean, who does she think she is? After all, this is a family affair if you have a home and a certain income, of course. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Civil Rights for the Poor, 2 hours of talk, jokes, songs, and internal incoming calls. You can call in, 427-3772. Please, do. With me in the studio is James Ney.